Greetings, and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast that made a wrong turn onto planet SR388. I'm your host and reluctant bounty hunter, David Lloyd, and this week we go on an RPG-adjacent journey to wipe out the last of a species in Metroid Samus Returns. This week is it's a crossover week, and so since we're going with one of the Nintendo's biggest IP, we have to have Nintendo's biggest podcast, so we've got the Talk Nintendo podcast with us, starting with the newest member of the Nintendo Trinity, Alex Kolafi.
Hi, and don't forget to mention new president of Talk Nintendo podcast. Mm.
I'll leave that with you. I wasn't sure if the vote was in yet, so I guess
Canada, he's the prime minister. So
prime minister. Yeah. President is like the American prime minister.
Yeah, right.
And we also have the, as always with us on both podcasts, the busiest man in podcasting, Mr. Casey Gibson.
I want to know how much Alex paid you to get the first top billing of the Talk Nintendo podcast. This guy already thinks he runs the show, and now you're just gassing him up even more.
Well, he did say he was the president, so I just assumed he had to go first.
He's going to be out there kissing babies before we know it.
All he did, Casey, was send him a bottle of maple syrup and a beer.
That's all it took.
Yep.
Boston Lager.
And round out the panel is the creative wonder himself, Perry Burkham.
Thank you for the simple intro there. Is that the creative
simple
wonder?
Simple intro for a simple man.
For a simple-minded man. it's good to be here on the cross... it's the cross country.
You know, we're all going to have so much to talk about with this game that I thought we don't want to take up too much time with the introductions.
Mm.
Keep it short and sweet.
I thought we were going the opposite way. We're just really going to pad it out.
Also, the J-Man is here, but he's just asleep. So
yeah.
You won't be hearing too much from him.
He's here in spirit, but won't be contributing. You know, I don't think he's a Samus fan, right?
I don't know.
I know he is.
Likes bad games.
Oh, okay.
He likes Octopath and stuff. So, who's to say?
Well, yeah. No, that's the thing.
David,
I know.
Tell you this is bad, so maybe he must like it.
Yeah. Well, I guess you can't assume. Like, even if he's a Samus fan, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's necessarily a Samus Returns fan.
I know. I'm not. Not that. Well, we can get more into that. I wouldn't say I'm a fan. Not that I hate the game. I just, yeah.
I know what the Talk Nintendo podcast is a fan of, and that's some good food. And I'm sure you guys have some good food that you can bring up to pad the time.
Good Lord, dude. I feel like I've eaten so much this week.
Yeah?
It's been delicious. Because Caitlin's family's here, so, you know, we've been getting a little extra food. We got Chinese food one night, like $70 worth of Chinese food. And that was delicious. Then we got yesterday was really just a sort of a banner food day. Started out with the Arby's, like, Philly cheesesteak thing that they were showing off. Not really
how's that?
Arby's man generally, but I will tell you, it was delicious, and I would go back and have it again. Now, the only bad thing is it's a little expensive. Like, a medium meal came out to, like, $10.50, you know, which you don't really love to spend at a fast food place unless you're, like, really pigging out, but... It's a good size, had good amount of food on there. You get to choose if you go crinkle fry or curly fry. I like that. I like the options.
Why would you choose something other than the curly fry? Like, they already perfected it.
It's absolutely funny. I picked the crinkle because the curlies are overrated.
Wow. Well, as president, or excuse me, sorry, prime minister of Talk Nintendo podcast, I hereby decree... that you're no longer a member, Casey.
Well, there it is.
I second it.
Seconded. And then David's like, adjourned.
Yeah.
No, I'm the stenographer. I wrote it down. It's now in
David's
print.
Like, since it was on a crossover podcast, it goes for both podcasts.
Yep. You know, they're not overrated, though.
They are most definitely overrated.
No.
They can't be. But it's like Chick-fil-A, where it's like, it's good, no doubt about it, but they're not that good.
But who says they're, like, that good?
You guys just told me a second ago how, like, why would you ever choose anything than the almighty curly fry?
Because it's really good.
Exactly. What else would you want out of a fast food fry? Like, fast food fries don't really get better than the Arby's curly fry. Other than, like, if you go back to, like, old McDonald's era.
Now, let me ask you, how does the Arby's curly fry compare to the Checkers curly fry?
Well, they do spicy seasoned fries. You stand corrected. Once again, kicked off the show.
They are curly, though.
But hold on. No, that's a really actually good question. What is the best fast food fry? Because I think Arby's takes the cake.
I have not had an Arby's curly fry. The crinkles were good.
Wait. You haven't had it?
Is that what you just said? Yeah, I'm talking about curly fries in general. Yes, they're overrated.
I'm saying, but you haven't had an Arby's curly fry?
Not recently. Maybe at some point. But
get out of here!
Oh my goodness, Casey, that is ridiculous. You can't sit there and say something is overrated if you haven't even tried it. That's ridiculous. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get him out of here.
I have had a curly
fry before. Where's our whipping boys? Those are the people that whip the people, right?
You got whipping boys, Perry?
Yeah.
I knew you were
in this parliament.
Deviant pervert, but geez.
You don't even know what a whipping boy is.
It's a formal part. It's a full branch of the Canadian government is whipping boys.
There's the judicial, the executive, and the whipping boys.
Yep.
That's amazing. Anyway, that's ridiculous, Casey. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Then I had that smoothie, and it was not good.
Mm.
No
smoothie from Arby's?
No, there's a Smoothie King right next door, so I fat boyed it yesterday, and I wanted like a coffee flavor, and this one had some coffee in it, but apparently it also had like banana and chocolate and stuff in it. Not mm-hmm. good. Not good.
Gotcha. Well.
But the Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah. I will say for food-wise, and we can just have this be the food-wise on our show, right?
Oh, yeah. This will be the dark arts.
Yeah, like, we're not going to...
My adventures
again. We're going to have the conversation all over again. This is copyright.
Nope.
And on that, I'm like, the Arby's curly fry is the best thing I'd ever tasted.
Yeah, seriously. I posted in our Talk Nintendo Discord my meal, I think it was must have been on Saturday, maybe? Texas Roadhouse. Country fried chicken.
Ooh.
With here's the dude. I'm telling you, and that meal was $9.99, and it was like the biggest meal I've ever had.
Remember my biggest meal, the nice cheap one that.
Oh yeah, Famous Dave's, and so it comes with you can get mashed potatoes. And here's the trick, right? So the country fried chicken comes with you can get either gravy or both for the same price.
Mm.
Now. My last server in Colorado let me know that little trick. So I got both. And then I ordered the mashed potatoes with butter instead of gravy. Best decision I've ever made in my entire life.
Did you double mash?
I didn't double mash. I got, I think, it, oh, no, no, I got a cup of chili. Because you can get a cup of chili and they bring it. It comes earlier. Delicious chili. It was amazing. And then, dude, and then you can order it. Now, it is $1.99 extra. So, which it's totally worth it, but you can get a huge thing full of delicious seasoned sauteed juicy mushrooms and sauteed onions and roasted jalapenos. Oh my goodness, guys. It was so good. Mm. Like, and I ate so much. And then you top it off with the rolls you can get at Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, dude, I love a good roll. Mm.
Oh, but they come with the cinnamon butter that you can put on them. It's ridiculous. We're going. We're going. Just saying.
We're
going
to eat so much next time we roll out there.
I know we are.
We'll literally be rolling home.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, Texas Roadhouse, country fried chicken meal. Giddy up.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. I can go next. I went to Newport over the weekend and got an extremely Boston, Massachusetts.
Is that Newport, Texas, or was it?
It was actually Newport, Iowa. Yeah, I was in the area. Yeah,
you better not have been at Newport, Iowa.
Is there an actual Newport, Iowa?
It probably is.
Yeah, I was
There's
say,
lots of ports in the middle of America.
With no water.
Yeah.
It used to be a port.
It's a well,
kind of port.
I went to Newport and I got me a lobster roll and a lobster bisque from a place called the Lobster Shack, which was which is it's a shack that sells lobster stuff and is just right where the
Apparently.
Lobsters are caught. It's right where the lobsters are caught. There's a you can get fresh live like lobsters, crabs, and you can also get like lobster rolls and stuff from the other shack next to it. So they do a food service thing. And oh my god, it was the only lobster I had had this summer. Usually I try to get my lobster in a couple times, but I was only able to once, and boy was it worth it. Lobster bisque, it really is food of the gods.
I've never had lobster bisque, and I've always wanted.
Real quick, guys, there is indeed a Newport Township in the township of Johnson County, Iowa.
There you go.
There are indeed 33 locations in the United States that are Newport. And then there's a couple more throughout the rest of the world, but I'm not going to get into that.
Nice. Thank you, Casey.
That's good.
News Thanks, talk Casey. With Casey Gibson.
You're welcome.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
And with that, well, lobster bisque is really good. It's you've had a chowder before, I'm guessing.
Chowder?
It's
chowder.
It's another there. Super creamy, rich soup, but this it's lobster base and it's got like an orange color to it. I think it's better than clam chowder, TBH. When you come to Boston, whenever that may be, we'll try to get you some bisque.
I'm surprised they haven't had bisque, Perry. But that being said, I hate
lobster bisque. I've never
I
had
hate
lobster
seafood.
Bisque.
Ugh. So.
Oh, I love seafood.
Well, I'm not even sure you've had seafood before, based on our earlier conversation.
Yes,
so
seriously,
I'm not sure.
I can't take anything. My I've never had curly fries.
I remember growing up, my dad would be like, have a bite of this lobster, I'll give you a dollar. And I'm like, all right.
And then he bit directly into the shell.
Nope, yeah. Then I tasted it, and I was like, ugh, and I didn't eat it. It's like, it's to me, lobster is the funniest food because it's like you pay so much money for it, and everyone's like, it is the best thing in the entire world, but I need to drown it in 8 pounds of butter for me to actually enjoy it.
That is not how people enjoy lobster at all.
I've seen people eat lobster.
It's not like catfish where you need like a ton of ketchup to eat it. Lobster's food of the gods independently.
But I've never seen anyone eat it without drowning it in butter.
Because it's better that way. But it's
because
still,
it needs to be done.
It starts at a 10. It starts at a 10.
Casey, I'm going to say this. I think you are wrong. Okay.
I don't know.
I'm
just saying I love a good steak and I don't need to put 8 pounds of butter on it.
Transitioning to alcohol related stuff because this is the Thirsty Mage. Yeah. I'm not currently drinking one, but I'll tell you the one I was drinking with the lobster roll. It's Anderson Valley Brewing Company, their summer solstice. It has a picture of a bear with antlers on the front and tastes kind of like cream soda. So that was the beer I had.
I love cream soda.
Sounds pretty good.
I did have some Coors Light over my birthday weekend for what that's worth.
You know what's overrated? Coors Light.
Oh, but no one's ever said Coors Light's really
that's
good.
That's basically the well water that comes out of my well, the amount of alcohol content in a Coors Light, an American Coors Light.
It's funny. I went to, it was like an electronic show. So it was like, you know, obviously they price water super expensive because everyone's on drugs. But it was like Coors Light, $5, bottle of water, $6. And my buddy's like, what's the difference?
Well, I'm actually going to, for my beer this week, it's more of a preview because I'll have to track it down. Our good friend of both podcasts, Estuardo, showed a new beer that's coming from the Pixel Microbrewery here in Montreal. It's a Zelda themed called Triple Force IPA. So this is an extra strong beer. It's a 10.5. It's an IPA, as I said, triple IPA. So it's I'm looking forward to this. This is one of my more favorite types of beer. So it's kind of right up my alley that way. And I'm hoping that the Nintendo Ninjas don't lawsuit this thing into the ground before it actually makes it to my grocery store. But if I can actually get my hands on it, I'm looking forward to picking up this one.
good luck.
Yeah. Those Nintendo ninjas are they're earning their paychecks these days, let me tell you.
The can looks dope.
Mm-hmm.
The one you posted in the picture in the Skype here, it looks really cool.
It does look good. So it is officially licensed, you said.
No, it's not.
that's kind of wacky because there are
I guess there's
diamonds, pentagrams or whatever.
Upside down, I guess. If you look, the one triangle on the logo is upside down. So and it there's definitely no Triforce to be seen. So I guess they can skirt around it.
The green hexagons are very suspect.
Yeah, look at those.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd be a little nervous, especially after Nintendo has already brought down a few things recently. So, but like I said, if it's still in grocery store, you know,
David's gonna
by the time
find
I get
it.
There, I'll have to. You know what? I'll just buy all their stock, and then once it gets brought down, it'll all be worth like 10 times more.
Scalper,
throw it up on eBay.
And a
he's a scalper. He fits right in with Talk Nintendo podcasts. Yeah.
Welcome to the gang.
Scalper safe haven.
Well, I guess we should get into the topic of the night, and that's Metroid: Samus Returns. So this is the it's 2000. Oh man, I can't remember the year it came out. It was in 2017 18? That this came out. Yeah,
17.
Yep, 17. Yeah, it was actually shortly after the Switch launched. It was in September, I believe, was when it came out. And this was a 3DS game, so you know everyone was kind of moving on. It was a pretty quick transition from 3DS to Switch when
Switch
came out. Man, like there wasn't much. This was probably one of the last big games for the 3DS. Really, I think a WarioWare came out around the same time, and there might have been a couple ports of stuff, but
Mario, Luigi, you know, updates.
Yeah.
The Casey reviewed,
which are super fun, great games.
Heck yeah!
But the 3DS was definitely on death's door. It was taken out back, but it wasn't shot yet. It was on the way out. But it was the first. It was the first 2D Zelda in about 13 years. So I know it had a lot of hype going for it.
2D Metroid.
David's got Zelda 2D? On the brain. You said Zelda.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Sorry, 2D Metroid. Yeah, I wish we were playing Zelda.
But Zelda 2.
You know what? I enjoyed Zelda 2 more than I did this game. This is a
ouch.
But
ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if, but a lot of hype for this game. I know Nintendo fans have been Metroid starved for, you know, a lot of years, and it's it hasn't gotten the love and care that the big, you know, Zelda and Mario have gotten. So I know there's a lot of people looking forward to Metroid Dread. And that's kind of the reason that we wanted to play it. We wanted to take a look at it and, you know, get hyped for Dread. And it's funny looking back on the reviews. This was highly regarded when it came out. Like, I'm looking at lots of nines and tens and 9.5s. Like it's crazy. I'm like looking back at it now. I'm actually quite shocked. I don't know if this was some rose tinted glasses or just happy that any Metroid came out at the time. Like I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's definitely that. Also, I mean it looks like it has it checks all the marks, you know. It had that fun legacy of it being Metroid 2, a remaster of that. So kind of like Metroid Second Mission or Zero Mission 2, you know, it's kind of that fun thing. It looks great. You know, high production values, big install base on the 3DS during the transition year. I mean, you know, I just think it was just a huge nostalgic kick. So it makes sense to have all those. And I think that, yeah, it's one of those things where I think that the zeitgeist of it helped it a lot. And then looking back on it, just I don't think it aged as good now that, the rose-tinted goggles and whatnot.
I was going to say, I think also, just, yeah, sort of with the nostalgia and everything, you could go back and play Super Metroid, and it's amazing, right? People still love and play that game. I feel like you go back and, I mean, obviously with emulation, it's, it makes it easier to play on, like, a computer or something, but, you know, if you're playing on the original hardware, it's tough to do. Plus, it also had, like, right, Samus was, like, so big, right? I felt like, and you couldn't really see a whole ton of the surrounding area on that tiny little screen, so I think it made like a pretty interesting concept with like hunting down the Metroids and killing them, like just made that sort of cool concept, brought it into a much more accessible and playable situation than when it originally was. So I feel like that probably was a pretty big boost to why people, you know, like you can go back and maybe you played Samus, you know, or Metroid 2. On the Game Boy back in the day and you didn't like it, or if you did like it too, like just seeing it in a fresh, you know, paint job, it just makes it much better. But yeah, it's, they've added like the whole melee thing, right? Which I'm, you know, is a big part of the gameplay, which we're going to get into next here, I know, but it's one of those things. It's like, I like flip flop between liking it and like hating it. But I feel like that might be a pretty divisive point, you know, that for anyone who might not like this game.
I can play good cop on this because I've beaten it. I beat it the year it came out and only replayed to the point where I could get a vibe for it. But like we said, it's a remake of Metroid 2 on Game Boy. One of the big things that this one did, in addition to just modernizing everything and adding some power-up type stuff, is that there's a new parry action component to it, which I think has been very, your mileage may vary for people. I personally liked the counter system where you sort of hit enemies when they approach you and then sort of attack you. I thought it added an interesting action element. I'm not normally someone who likes Metroid or Castlevania or Metroidvania games. But I like Metroid. So I do like Metroid games, but I don't like Metroidvanias normally. And I thought this one was
good. And you've never played good. Prime, right?
No, that'll be the next one we're doing on this podcast on Talk Nintendo. Like that's the I Demand Wii, right?
Yeah.
That we're probably going to do.
Yeah.
So, although we'll talk about that on a future episode. But yeah. So, I like it. I'd say, for me, it was kind of like an 8 out of 10 when I played it. I thought it felt pretty good, but it kind of felt like it wasn't made by Nintendo, which it wasn't. It was made by Mercury Steam, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it didn't necessarily have that, like, stamp.
The Nintendo touch, like, yeah.
Or, like even the retro or next level game stamp. Like, it was like a level below that to me, I think. But I still liked it overall, I thought.
Yeah. My original take on it was definitely, it came out when I wasn't in the mood for it. That's one thing. Cause I think, again, Metroidvania's just gotta be in the mood for. After playing this game to 2017, I kind of hit the Casey point of view where it was kind of like, yeah, Metroidvania's just like, I'm just a little bit burnt out on them. And I was kind of like, you know, I don't know if I like I could play Zeo Drifter and it's really short. And it's like, you know, 3 or 4 hours. And I like that bite size. And I was like, maybe that's how Metroidvanias should be, you know, instead of a big, but then I got completely turned around on it with Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I was like, oh, you can have an epic, like 12 hour long Metroidvania and it can be amazing. So, coming back to this was interesting because I only thing I remembered was I didn't really like it too much before, and I hated the parry move because it was
hate parry too.
The parry move.
Yeah, it was too prevalent, and then I see it, and I'm really scared about Metroid Dread about the same thing, but there might be some other quality of life. I'm such on the fence with Metroid Dread. Like, I'm excited that it's out there, that it's happening, but it looks like Samus Returns 2. Like, and again, I don't know if it's going to be any improved. I just don't know. I'm fully waiting. So
for me, I kind of echo what Alex said in the sense that it didn't feel like Nintendo had made it. I don't even necessarily think it feels like a Nintendo subsidiary even really made it, because it just seemed like it was missing chemistry. It's one of those things where Nintendo has a way of making, like, maybe not all their games are like the best ever, but even when you're playing some of their kind of B-level games, they still feel good to play. Like they still have that chemistry.
The special sauce.
Yeah, the special sauce. Like, it just feels, this one just felt clunky. It didn't, like, nothing felt natural. Like, the parry system definitely was awful. Like, I didn't like it at all. I don't even know if it was necessarily just the way it worked, in the sense that, like, I'm not against having that kind of physical block or punch or whatever you want to, like, knock back to the enemies. Like, I kind of see where they're going with it. But the way that my hands were, it just felt like an unnatural move to be like, okay, I have a split second to move my thumb to this to a different button from where I was, like the jumps below and then the parries above it, and I don't know, it just felt weird.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's like, what about a Metroidvania makes you, like, if you are going against enemies constantly, retreading rooms, they reappear, right? You go through a room, come back, they're back. Like, why would you want to add another kind of barrier? It's almost like already kind of at the acceptably annoying stance, yeah, where you're trying to get through and traverse them. But why add that timing ability? I think they should have just made it more of it. I think I love it. I love the idea. And it makes sense. You want to kind of extend stuff. But they should have made it more rare. And like for only certain enemies, like with like a shield, yeah, or, you know, you could, something like that. I don't know. Or maybe for just the Metroid battles.
Like, add some, to me, I think one of the things missing for the parry system is speed. Like, using it slows you down. Like, you stop and you do the little, you know, wipe or whatever. Or, like, to me, it's funny that we're all kind of like, yeah, Metroidvania, but, you know, I kind of, you think there more, one, at least one or a couple of us would have been more into the genre, but especially, like, to me, like, I'll play, like, you know, Dead Cells and Hades, like, they're not Metroidvanias, obviously, but it's still, like, a very similar combat, especially, like, Dead Cells, and to me, what makes those games fun, the 2D action games fun, is, like, the speed. Like, I'm, like, burning through and, going right after enemies. Like, I don't want to be in this, like, defensive stance. Like, leave that for the boss or something. Like, if it's just regular enemies in the middle of rooms, just let me plow through them. Like, you know, if it's too easy or something, just add more. Like, you know, like, I don't want to have to, like, stop and worry about every little enemy along the way. And then part of that, too, was the way that it seemed like enemies were always awkwardly placed. Like, you know, you can't just run and shoot, you have to kind of run up and then you have to hold the L button and use like the fumbly circle pad to try to aim and get, like, take enemies out that are like in the air and on a wall and something. Like, it always just felt like, why are you stop slowing my progression? Like, I want to burn, like, I want a pace. Like, give me some pace. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm trudging through this game. Like, I guess that's my biggest takeaway from this game, is it just felt like everything was a chore.
Yeah, I definitely sort of echo the whole pace thing, where it's like, yeah, you're sort of moving in a room and then like, oh, I just want to blast this dude, but like, oh, he's one of like the sort of shell guys on the ground, so I got to get close and let him lunge at me before I can knock him over. And even just like the aiming in general, right? Yeah, you hit L and then you have full 360 aiming, which you would think would be awesome. Like, oh, I've got control. This is great. And I'm sure there are people who enjoy that. But I almost prefer just give me the eight direct, you know, like I could shoot, you know, down in a diagonal, up in a diagonal and straight. You know, I could shoot straight up. Just give me the different.
Yeah, like it might be interesting if there's dual analog, right? Like if you could have, you know what I mean? Like if you played on a Switch controller, if you could actually run in a direction and shoot in the other direction, right? But and then you have to stop and aim, right?
Yeah, I just feel like I don't know. I don't want to have full autonomy on the shooting. I would rather you just give me those. I know cardinal is, you know, up, down, left, right. I forget what they call the, if it's just diagonal, but like pretty much the eight ways you can shoot, you know, and then you could place enemy units according to that. You know, and you, that could help maybe with some of the pacing. Like, yeah, like, oh, like this would be the ideal place if you were trying to really cook along and get there and shoot. where like a lot of the times, like, oh, I would, when I first seen enemy, I'm like, oh, let me bang L and start seeing if I could kill him from afar kind of thing. And then it's like, no, the most ideal thing is go parry him. And it's like, I hate parry. And then, you know, like, that's what it is.
Or just when you're sitting around waiting for the Metroid to come so you can actually do the parry move and stuff. Like, it, I don't know.
It's yeah, just like, come attack me. Like, stop.
Him. Yeah.
I hate like parry.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, how many times can I just blatantly say I hate parry?
One of the running episode name ideas for this episode is the parry system.
The parry system.
What? Or the parry attack?
The parry party. Or
the parry... We'll figure it out.
It'll come.
Nice.
You had mentioned, Perry, that you I guess you like the art direction of this game, though, eh?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking back at it, I think that it looks... Yeah, I think they kind of nail the... I mean, it reminds me of Metroid Prime and stuff. A lot of the areas. I think it looks pretty nice. I think the animations are kind of interesting. Not as fluid. I mean, it's very hit or miss on some of the animations. Some of them look really, really good. But yeah, I like how it looks.
I think Samus's model was like, it's not bad, but there's just something a little off, I feel.
Yeah,
but
like I don't like how there's no the big. I like the big shoulders, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
and they're
maybe
not
that's
there.
It.
They're
yeah,
kind of like small,
too slender. Yeah, no, I think the environments are cool, you know, and like the vibe with the music felt good. But yeah, I would say, yeah, there's just, and you might have hit the nail on the head with the whole, like, small shoulder pads. Maybe that's what sort of just makes it feel a little weird. But yeah, I'll say, like, I pre-ordered Dread because Walmart had, like, pre-order and get a mug. So I was like, well, might as well. But now I'm like, oh, yeah, it's like, is this going to be exactly what I did the first time I played Samus Return, where I play an hour of it and then never play it again until years later we were like, man, we should try Metroid Dread again, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I feel
yeah,
like
I don't know.
It's almost what's gonna happen.
I don't know. Like, I think here's the thing. I'm definitely getting Dread no matter what. And I say that because I from the first time it came out and I watched some, I was like, okay, I don't know. This looks good. Like this looks fun. Like it's Metroid. I love Metroid. Metroid is a cool franchise. I love everything about it. This looks great and well-made, but is it Samus Returns 2? And I saw like the first, like a boss encounter and I saw how fluid it ran. It runs at 60, which I don't think this one does. It does. I think it runs at 30. And then the actual boss fight looked really fun. So I was like, okay. So I was like, once I said it, I was like, okay, I am now sold on the game, but I'm cautiously optimistic that they made some changes that maybe Nintendo, you know, helped out on some changes and stuff. And
well, people. How about I'll just keep my pre-order. I'll play it for an hour or two and then I'll send it to you. And then you send me half the price.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
And I'll keep the mug.
Can I give a like an optimistic view of Metroid Dread? Because I know this has been a little bit of a downer.
The beaming sun of ray of sunlight. Come on through, baby.
No, the other Nintendo game we're going to be talking about today on Talk Nintendo, I need to earn my goodwill now. Because, boy, is it going to come crashing down. The last 2D Metroidvania-type game that Mercury Steam made was Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate, a game I also beat. It was their first attempt at doing, at least as far as I know, a Metroidvania-type game. And it wasn't that great. It was, it felt a lot like God of War, which, I mean, the Lords of Shadow series felt like, and it really felt like it was trying to ape kind of the aesthetic of those games, but without actually getting there. Samus Returns is an enormous step up, which granted, some of that's probably Nintendo assisting with it, like Key Metroid staff and whatnot, and it being co-developed in part with Nintendo, but with the progression from Mirror of Fate to Samus Returns, I am cautiously optimistic that Metroid Dread will see a similar improvement in quality.
Mm. You know what I think also, like, after being such a big portable gamer and like playing on my 3DS and stuff, it's like, I just want to play games on my big TV, man. It's like, and especially I'm pretty sure I have a 3DS XL somewhere, but right now, like, my account and all my games and everything are on the new regular 3DS, so it's the smaller one. And honestly, it's like, it's just like annoying. It's like, I want to play on a bigger screen, you know? So I wonder if
I think that has to do with
my like negativity, where it's just like, ugh. And that's where I'm thinking,
absolutely,
too, maybe,
yeah,
Metroid Dread, like up on the big screen, nice and atmospheric. Like I said, I love the backgrounds and the areas and in this game. So like being able to see that on the big TV too, you know, it's like something that I is why I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't get rid of the pre-order, you know?
Yeah. And isn't that crazy? Because Case, when we started the podcast, we both had jobs where we had breaks and we could, you know, portable gaming was, yep, a huge part of my day. Like,
yeah, I used to bring the
breaks.
Car. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And now, you know, I don't, I work from home and everything. So it's not the same thing at all.
Yeah. Yeah. You could play on your big screen on your breaks.
Exactly. So I that's important to remember, right? I'm the boss. So I think that's a good point. And that's the other thing that I look back on my 3DS and I'm playing it, and it's like, you know what? Like, absolutely, I'm so used to playing on big screens now just because that's how it is. I was so used to playing on the 3DS then, but now I'm not. And so I am excited to play Metroid Dread on my new OLED Switch, like on both, like handheld, like it's a way bigger screen than the 3DS XL. And then on the TV, seamlessly, like, and playing with a pro controller, like, rather, you know, it's just, that is a big part of it, I think.
Wait, you don't want to play with the Joy-Con Drift hard mode?
No, I don't.
imagine trying to aim.
Yeah.
aim with that drift.
Perry was talking about wanting to aim one way and go the other. Maybe the drift is the key.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
You need to use the Ridley Amiibo to unlock Joy-Con drift mode.
Oh my god! Yeah, isn't that crazy? Right, the most difficult setting was locked behind the Amiibo for this game, right?
Mm-hmm. You can't get the. I don't know if you can get the Metroid Fusion suit unless you have the Amiibo.
How do you feel about that, guys?
I don't like it because I no. That's. I really Garbage. Considered even picking it up.
Fusion is a cool suit, too. I always love the Fusion suit.
You would.
So the hard mode is only accessible if you buy the Amiibo.
Yep. Yeah, so you didn't know that, so, David?
That's like a $20 DLC, that, I guess,
and
basically.
And that's if
assuming
you
it's in
it.
Stock.
Yeah, I was going to say, you most likely would have to go to... well, David might have a few with his, you know, now that he's a big beer scalper. But yeah, you might be like, I don't know how much those go for, but I bet you they're a pretty penny.
No, like finding them is next to impossible, I think. Like,
yeah. Casey, next time David's on just a regular Talk Nintendo podcast, can you please introduce him as the beer scalper himself?
Deal. Now I'm looking, I just did a quick Google search. I see the Samus Returns. I'm assuming it is the Amiibo that the Metroid's breaking out of the canister. 3 days left, 17 bids at $66. Buy it now. Well, that's with the other Samus Amiibo for $138. So yeah, if you want the hard mode, you only got to shell out like near $100. Dude,
he's got to buy the game again, apparently.
These. What am I doing with my life?
Yep.
Listen, don't complain. On this podcast, we support small business owners, okay?
Yep. Where you can be the boss.
eBay small business owners.
And Amazon resellers.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. Interesting. I think it's I love to think about this, the time that Samus Returns came out, what effect, like, if that would have, like, isn't it weird that that game came out, like, after the other, like, at the end of the 3DS life cycle, it was like Metroidville. Like, I think that's really funny. Like, imagine if Samus Returns was a launch game or something. Like, what would that have done? I don't know if it would have changed anything. I have no idea.
I think if it came out before the Switch, it probably would have done much better.
Yeah, but, like, our view of it, you know, like, do you think it would change if we did the same thing now? I think it would be the same, like where it's like, I don't know,
well,
because
we might just
have like
more fond memories.
Think about like Steel Diver and Nintendogs, like in Pilot Wings. Those were the three huge games.
Well,
so like, imagine if it launched.
Pretend Pilot Wings isn't an amazing game.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the epicness. Like, I would have loved to have Metroid as well, you know. And so, anyway, I just think that's really interesting. It's just the whole thing is interesting.
What's a better franchise, Metroid or Pilot Wings?
You know, I've never played Pilot Wings 64.
It's fun.
And Metroid Prime is unbelievable. So I'm going to say Metroid.
Mm. All right. I was going to say, yeah.
But I love Pilot Wings.
The peaks might be higher in Metroid, but baby, every single Pilot Wings has been great.
Yeah, true. True dat.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol. Get going.
It's probably a good spot to move on to the last call, and it's still Metroid Dread topical, I suppose, because it's the trailer that got me thinking about this particular subject. But we don't necessarily have to talk about Metroid Dread. It could. I'm actually thinking of a game that Casey is dying to talk about that this applies to as well. But for last call, the topic of this week is: at what point is the line crossed from pre-release hype to completely spoiling the story or surprise or just kind of, you know, souring your game, the experience going into a game? Because I know with Metroid Dread specifically, obviously people like the latest couple trailers, I think the last two trailers that came out have showed things. Bosses, yeah, I guess I won't name names or anything because people were pretty upset. But they're like showing bosses.
Spoilers, but let me tell you.
You know, so they're, lore and stuff, like it's I don't know, it just, it's always a fine line, but I'm just curious, like are we just crossing it too much these days, or are people overblowing what was shown? Like, was it that really that big a deal?
I'm gonna say that my opinion is that I accept going in, like, trailers going forward that, like, I don't really know what could possibly be spoiled. Like, I don't really know. But all I know is, like, if I know I want the game, or if I'm undecided, then I want more information. So then I'll look and watch a trailer and see if it looks good. But, like, for me, if I know I want the game and I'm scared about spoilers or something like that, I haven't seen any of the new Metroid trailers at all because I haven't looked at them. And it's really easy to not look at. So I don't really, you know, I'm kind of like, I guess, is there a point where I'm not sure if I'm going to buy the game, and within one trailer I go from, you've spoiled the game to me because I was interested in, you know, like, I don't know. Like, but to me, I don't think that, just for my person, I haven't been personally affected by it. So.
Yeah, I think, I guess when I watch like a trailer, I'm not really trying to connect dots. So, like, even in movie trailers, like, where it's like, oh, man, like, I'm sure if I was really paying attention and trying to, like, let me try and figure out what the plot exactly is and how it's all going to go. Like, yeah, you could piece that together from a lot of trailers. I think movies, like I said, sort of do it really bad, you know. But yeah, I guess when I watch it, I always, like I said, I'm just sort of taking it for what it is and not trying to, you know, connect the dots and see everything. So, I mean, as far as that, like, lore and story goes, you know, like, I'm not thinking that far ahead of it. As far as bosses and stuff, I think, you know, that's sort of lame. Because, yeah, how cool is it when you pull up on the first big boss, and or maybe not even the first one, but just maybe an iconic boss in a series, or just something that looks epically cool. And it's like, oh, yeah, I saw in the trailer, like, this is still a cool moment. But, yeah, it's not maybe as cool as if you just stumble upon it. But I think something, like, for me, where I would say is the most annoying with spoilers, and it's just, I guess, how like, Smash Bros., right? Like, what was cool about Melee was, like, oh, I don't know any of these hidden characters. Like, oh, okay, like Luigi's not there. Okay, like, yeah, he's got to be one, right? But like all of these, and especially back then, and I know the times are just so different with the internet and everything, but like, oh, we didn't, like 99% of people didn't know who Marth was, you know, and that was really their first exposure to Fire Emblem through Melee, where you unlock this guy and you're like, what is this? This is crazy. Who is this guy, you know? And then they give you a little background and all that stuff. But nowadays, right, Smash, like, obviously, like, the DLC, like, makes sense. Like, buy this random character, you know, like, give us money. But, like, they revealed everyone, you know, and I get it. It's the hype. Like you said, it's all about the hype because they want people to invest the money up front. They don't want to have those people, like, lose the potential people not seeing that cool thing versus the people who are already going to buy it and maybe get a little extra surprise. So it's like, I get it, but... Yeah, I like I know Perry's saying it's easy enough to avoid trailers, but you know, then all of a sudden you go on to YouTube and someone's got, oh, reaction video, and they've got, you know, that ball slapped right on the thumbnail, and it's like, well, I didn't watch the trailer,
no hiding.
Now it's ruined anyway, you know. So I think it sort of sucks, but I mean, like I said, it doesn't affect me that much personally, but I do wish they would sort of reel back a little bit.
Have you seen the Endwalker trailer yet?
I think I might have watched it when I was like really tired on the couch one night. I don't really remember it. But yeah, like I think there's some sort of moon involved, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like personally, I don't know if there's any spoilers per se in that particular one. For like you and me, when that came out. I think we had both just finished
A
Realm Reborn.
Yep.
Yeah. And watching it was funny because there's like at the end of A Realm Reborn it's kind of a cliffhanger.
Blown.
Like there's a bunch of your mind gets blown, there's people, like there's things that happened or whatever and
Game of
there's
Thrones-esque.
A lot of like yeah, like it's very like, oh, you know, what happened to this person and that person. And then I watched Endwalker and I'm like, oh, well, there they are. Oh, there's that one. Oh,
yeah.
There's that person. And I'm like, okay, things are going to be all right, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I guess, yeah, I guess that point, right, like it's one of those, well, maybe you shouldn't be 8 years behind
that
in the game,
far behind.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like a little more acceptable there.
I mean,
but
so
yeah.
Alex, have you, I just want to know, I guess to everyone, is there... something that was revealed that's like that people like and you don't need
Dread?
To say what it is, but from what
I think
a boss
was,
that people know,
yeah,
like is it a familiar boss or something?
That's what I believe. Some familiar faces might have shown up throughout that, you know, people might have enjoyed more if it was a surprise, you know.
Sure. Okay.
Like I can add some perspective to this because I'm probably one of the most spoiler sensitive people I know.
Agreed.
Where my standards for what a spoiler is.
I just think you're one of the most sensitive
low.
People I know.
I am a very sensitive boy.
And the most beautiful.
That's why we always have to constantly
gas him up.
Tell you you're the most beautiful boy in Boston.
You should hear the
you
things
can't
we
see.
Actually think.
You can't see because it's only microphones, but if you had a camera on, you'd see me blushing right now.
The most but bashful boy in Boston.
I'll say a couple things. One is, I think sometimes Nintendo especially goes way too far, especially in like it almost feels like when Blockbuster movies will show you scenes that, like, as an adult, you can tell are clearly from the last 15-20 minutes of the movie. Like, just way too much, like, connecting the dots on plot development. Not that, but that's the Nintendo version of that would be in the 3DS era, Sun and Moon, for example, almost all the Pokemon were, like, pretty well known by the time it came out. Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, the post game. Was known before the game came out. X and Y, I think about 40 of the 60 or 70 Pokemon were known, maybe even more. Like for me, I think especially if it's stuff that should be left to the imagination, for example, post-game legendaries. That's just the Pokemon example. It feels inconsiderate to your most passionate fans who are going to seek everything out, whether they want to or not. And I know that some people really like knowing that stuff in advance, like fighting games are a great example where some people might say, Smash Bros, I want to know every single character up front. Meanwhile,
well, you're lucky because they'll have 15 different Nintendo Directs about one character highlighting everything.
Terry.
So you're lucky.
Yeah. And but someone like me and I think Casey feel the exact opposite. We're like, I want some stuff left to the imagination, some stuff that I can sort of see for myself. And like people can say, yeah, well, don't see it. Well, sometimes it's difficult to do that, even if you do, if you try really hard to control your social media timeline to not watch stuff.
Yeah, it's
like
everywhere.
For example, like Metroid Dread, I'm not even a huge Metroid guy, so I haven't paid a ton of attention to the trailers, but the lore that they were posting is like that goes into Samus as a character, which I won't say any more than that, and then some of the sort of things that I saw getting tossed around, I'm like, people should not have to like have this shoved in their face by Nintendo like before the game comes out. And to me, I have no idea
what you're talking about. Like, I have no idea what could possibly be said.
I guess I don't want to say it here.
But yeah, what could
I'm saying like lore stuff, story stuff, stuff that like someone who's a big fan wants to experience organically.
And this is something that happens in the game.
Yeah.
It's like the answer to a question. There's like, you know, with lore, there's you've made these assumptions, or you wonder if this thing is that thing or whatever. And then and you have that hype of like, okay, I'm going to play this game and I'm going to learn something new. But then the thing that you were going to learn that was new is shown to you in the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. But I guess in summary, like to me, it comes across as disrespectful sometimes when they do that, whether regardless of what the series is. And it feels a lot like, hey, we got those suckers money anyways. Who cares what we reveal?
Yeah, we want to get the guys.
It's just
going to
get more people. Exactly. So it just, it feels, I don't know if it's slimy because I don't know what happens between the marketing and the development. But to me, it feels slimy, even though I have no evidence that that's actually the case. And it may very well not
be. Well, it's definitely, I would be willing to bet with the marketing teams and they've done test case or whatever. And it's like, yeah, like this is a bit of a spoiler for sure. And yeah, it'll rile up, you know, maybe 20% of the fan base or like really angry, but they're going to buy it anyway. Yeah. And this might attract in 30%, you know, or however many more people, you know, we get more eyes on it. They've got more interest now and our sales are going to go up X amount because like Alex was saying, like the people who are really getting upset about it, they're going to buy the game anyway. That you've already got their money, you know? So if you ruffle a few of their feathers, you're still getting the money at the end of the day.
Well, I think the big thing is that Nintendo wants to trend. They want to have the voice, like they want to be talked about. So you stick that in there, knowing that all of the fanboys are going to go insane, and now
and
all of a sudden
article.
you're number one on Twitter. You're trending on Twitter because everyone's like screaming about this thing that happened in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Like it happens all the time with Nintendo stuff. Like they're the masters of of getting trending on anything. Like
yeah, and then there's YouTube videos and wow. I can't even say the word right now. I'm too tired. Anyway, Kotaku, that's it. Jeez, articles up there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like now, all of a sudden, you're getting people who are not gamers at all. And yeah,
free advertising.
Yeah, what's this Metroid Dread? I remember playing, you know, Metroid back in the day, and then yeah, now they're looking at it.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna. Nintendo World Report's usually very good with this, and I won't name names, but I will throw a tiny bit of shade,
Jordan,
at some of the very large publications that I think really eat this stuff up and regurgitate it for the same reason Nintendo wants to trend stuff in their headline that they really shouldn't put, sort of bosses that they really shouldn't be publishing articles for. I'm not going to name names, but off mic, I have specific examples.
It's all about them clicks. They want, like, everybody wants the clicks. Like, that's the thing. Like, even just like you said, like, Kotaku will go out and do, you know, a big article about it because they're getting clicks and Nintendo's getting clicks and everybody's getting it's like this self feeding monster that just like gets out of control.
Anything for the attention, anything for the clout. The one example I will give, which I won't say the publication, but I think some reviewers will call out the fact that there is like a plot twist or twists, and that is the exact same gear grinding thing to me. Like, it is irresponsible as something that sells something to consumers or as a consumer service, like reviews often are supposed to be, that like you should not be the one to spoil games for people before they come out, is just my thought.
Yeah. Honestly, like the whole headline clicks thing is it to completely throw an irrelevant or not exactly relevant. Wow. I cannot speak right now. We're talking about crappy headlines, and I saw one the other day and like from ESPN. And, like, how clickbaity is this? No apostrophe. It just says, giraffe named for Cincinnati Bengals QB Joe Burrow dies after falling ill. And it's like, they knew exactly what they were doing, because everyone just sees Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow dies, and you're like, what? You know, and then it's like, oh, the giraffe, you know? And it's like, gah, media, man.
Hmm. Well, like, for me... you know, to kind of bring this around to maybe a topic that we always talk about here at the Mage, like with the Legends of Heroes, like this is a series going on, like, you know, what's it, two games, like 12 games or whatever.
A million.
And the story is just continuing. So this thing is like got lore upon lore upon lore. Like this is an onion that's unpeeling all the time. There's this lore everywhere. And I feel like the people, like, I don't know, maybe it's just the reviewers I read or whatever, but I find them very respectful of the, like you said, those plot twists. Like, there's always these things that happen, like, some character from, like, three games ago pops into the game, and all of a sudden, like, you find out about what happened to them, and you find out this history about this popular character. And one of the other things, too, is, like, the first two, in the first two Legend of Heroes games, obviously, Estelle Bright and Joshua Bright are the main characters that you play as, and they're kind of like the highlight of the series. And there's games later on in the series where, you know, all of a sudden you're controlling them again, or like they're playable characters. And every time, like, these are old games, but even then I'm like playing through the series and all of a sudden I'm like controlling Joshua and Estella, and I'm like Leo in that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where I'm like throwing, you know, I'm spit taken and I'm pointing at the television. I'm like, you know, like that moment just feels so good. Like, you know, cause you weren't expecting it. And all of a sudden it's like, you get that. That's kind of the feeling that I see with, like, I don't know if it applies to the boss in Metroid Dread necessarily or anything, or the other lore piece. But I just, if I was watching a trailer and all of a sudden, like, you know, a playable character is Estelle or Joshua, I'd be like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I wanted...
Like, you had to tell us this? Come on, you ruined it. Like, I would have flew out of my chair.
Like I said, the reaction goes from, oh my God, this is amazing, to, oh, cool, this part's here now. Like, this is where it is. Okay. You know, like, and it might still really be a great fight, or like you say, when you're controlling those characters, it's great to be controlling them again. But yeah, just the initial reaction of like losing your mind just goes to like, oh, okay, like I knew this was coming at some point, and here it is. And like, it could still be really positive, you know, but it just takes a little luster off it.
Mm-hmm.
So quit it, Nintendo.
Yeah, quit it with the clickbaits. So I know there's no way that the clickbait is going to end. The monster has to keep chugging along like Godzilla going through Tokyo. But yeah, this is the world we live in now, the 24-hour cycle.
Yep, I would say that train has long left the station, and she's it's like the bus from Speed. She ain't stopping.
I'm pretty impressed, like, that people care that much about Metroid, like, lore.
Well, you know? Think of what's your favorite story ever from...
Honestly,
game or book or movie or TV, you know, like...
Well, that's the thing, is books and movies and TVs are just... They just are different to me than, like, the interaction of a game. And that's me personally. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people really care about story stuff, and I just don't.
Perry's in it for the gameplay.
I am. Story is not the most important to me. So it's always like my favorite games are never about the story, and that's just me personally. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's probably a good spot to wrap things up. I know that with this crossover, this is just a portion of your guys' episode. So what else are you guys going to be talking about in case someone's listening to this on the Mage channel and they want to flip over to TMP to hear the rest? Don't spoil it, though, guys. Just give us... Don't cross
that
line.
I'm saying.
Just hype it without spoiling it.
Yeah, Perry, can you give us one more of those?
Wah-ha-ha!
And it's all about the gameplay.
Exactly.
I think you've masterfully done it. We all know what you're talking about without having to be told.
Boom.
Agreed.
World of Warcraft talk on deck.
Well, that's just assumed, Casey. You're on the show. I just assumed. It's like trying to get through a Thirsty Mage episode with not hearing about the Legend of Heroes. Like, it's just, you know,
it's
just not going to happen.
It's as sure as the sunrise.
Well, anything else you guys got coming up? Any Perry, you got any Atui stuff coming out that you can regale us with? Or is it all under lock and key?
Lock and key.
Lock and key. You devs and your secrets.
I can't say, though, that Mutant Muds Deluxe is available. Game Dex is available on Limited Run Games. So that's Atui related. And Ukulele as well. So you can go check that out.
Huge Game Dex.
Big Game Dex.
Very big.
The tabletop RPG.
Boom.
Maybe not an RPG, but it's tabletop.
No. But we are working on expansions, RPG expansions. So there's some fun little news.
You got to talk to Square and get some. Dragon Quest, I could just see it on the cards already. But then again, I guess it's because I could see that and like the Mutant Muds sort of colorful, happy. Enemy design and stuff sort of going hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, stick around after we log off. I have some Hatch Tales and Petadachi leaks for you. just between us.
I'll be live streaming the conversation so you can head over to Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo.
P-O-D.
Beautiful, Alex. He's learning, baby. He's learning.
Don't worry, Alex. I'll be the one to hit the button that stops recording because I'm, as we found out before the episode, I'm keenly aware of which button is the recording button and not the mute button.
Okay, and it looks like we just stopped recording. Petadachi's going to be a good game.
But I hear the music. The composer's a pervert.
Well, that's not a secret.
That's on the box.
I want to thank you guys for another fun crossover. Looking forward to the next one. Hopefully maybe that we all enjoy a little bit more than this one. But sometimes you got to play them before you find out. So, but yeah, thanks guys for coming. And thanks for everyone for listening to both Talk Nintendo and the Thirsty Mage.
Adios.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye.
Doodles.
Doodles!